listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket Canada's Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And what a comeback victory for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday in Baltimore, down 20-3, and they find a way to score 20 unanswered points to walk out and go back to Buffalo with the victory 23-20 over the Baltimore Ravens. Next up for the Bills is, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday in Buffalo at 1 p.m. Eastern. And now joining us is the greatest Bills quarterback of all time, the Pro Football Hall of Famer in Jim Kelly. Jim, thanks so much for coming back on. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
How about that comeback victory? Take me through how you processed that one on Sunday.
Well, I processed some of it. I got up and walked out a couple times. So, yeah, but it all came back, and I knew that you never give up. I always used to tell and still do tell my kids it's never over until it's all zeros on that clock, and especially now with the Bills the way they are and the weapons they have, they can come back anytime and start out slow. But, you know, overall, very proud of the way Josh Allen handled it and the way he brought that team back.
When you look at the athleticism nowadays at the quarterback position, and you saw it on full display on Sunday, it's really something to just see how athletic not only Josh Allen is, but then we know what Lamar Jackson could do as well.
But you didn't see that out of me and Marino? Oh, boy, I had to throw two of the slowest quarterbacks in history of the NFL, Marino and Kozar. I wasn't too far behind it, but no, to be honest with you, it's amazing. You know, I knew how I used to love to watch guys like Randall Cunningham, how he used to be able to run around with the football, and, you know, guys like Doug Flutie, all the athletic guys. And I wasn't that bad, but I wasn't that great. The older I got, the more I wanted to stay in that pocket and have my big brothers right beside me and protect me. But, you know, guys like Josh Allen and, you know, Jackson and so many guys now, that's the way of the quarterback now. Yeah, there's still the, you know, your typical great ones that are in the pocket, like, you know, of course, Tom Brady's been there, what, 40 years now?
Seems that way.
But, yeah, it's exciting to watch.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly here with us. Jim, you know it in Buffalo. For years they were saying, please get us the next Jim Kelly. Get us the next Jim Kelly. And those prayers were finally answered. What is it like for you to not only see the way that Josh Allen's career has really developed, but now has taken off to where he's one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I love seeing it. Yeah, I've heard that for so many years, and I think they finally got a guy not only probably just as good, but he keeps going the way he's going to be. He's going to shatter all my records. I won't even have any. He'll be halfway through his career. He'll be probably already by mine. So, but it's good to see it. He's a good kid. He's great for the community. He's a great leader. Everything that a franchise would love to have. Everybody that, you know, that would love to have a guy like that in your community going around helping foundations and charities and all these, you found it in Josh Allen. So it's good to see, and I love watching it.
So you think he's going to go down as the greatest quarterback in Bills history?
Who, me?
No. Josh Allen. Yeah, you. Your opinion on it, it's a pretty important one.
Without, I mean, your bottom line is if he continues to do what he's, you know, what he has done and been doing, he's going to shatter all my records. Oh, without a doubt, he'll be the greatest ever. I hope it happens. I mean, that's what I would love to have. I live here. My kids, my two daughters, are huge Bills fans, and they would love to be able to see all my records, maybe not be shattered, but broken. They probably will. We will, but the thing that comes with that is wins. all those victories. And we, of course, you don't want to talk too much about that Lombardi Trophy. It's not here yet. But to be able to, you know, keep fighting and get back and hopefully get at least get to the game and try to get one and pull one off and win one, that would be awesome. So I'm excited about what I see with what we got, you know, behind the center.
That's the expectation this year. You know it and I know it. It is Super Bowl or bust, even though the general manager may not want to say that. But you look at this team, they have all the pieces they probably need to go in a Super Bowl this year.
Well, the first thing I said, and I think I've said a number of times, even before the season started on my own radio show, that the key is staying healthy. And I know we've had a lot of injuries. And last week, we had about, five or six starters that were out. Plus, you know what? That's the bottom line. You've got to keep your star players healthy. And, we've got to keep Josh healthy. You've got to quit running so much. And hopefully he starts getting down. And I think I even saw him twice slide. I'm like, I'm not used to seeing Josh Allen slide. So it's good to see him start to really think that he's got to save his body because, 18, and then you go to the playoffs. That's a lot of games, so we have to keep that boy healthy.
That's the only thing that concerns me because you're right. They got to stay healthy. They don't have many blemishes on this resume when you look at the construction of this roster that Brandon has put together and the way that Sean coaches. But three out of the first four games, they've asked him to be the leading rusher. They got to start getting other pieces to maybe take a little bit off his plate.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know what? When I looked at the schedule, I said, if we come out of this 3-1, I'm going to be very happy. And that's pretty much exactly what we did. So, we have to. And, not just him, but we got to keep some guys on defense. I know our secondary has been banged up, some of the defensive linemen. We just have to keep the star players healthy. Yeah, you want to keep everybody healthy. I get that. But the ones that really make a big difference each and every week are the receivers. You have to get that running game going. As you just said a little bit ago, I was blessed when I played because I had Thurman Thomas behind me. Singletary is a pretty darn good running back. Give him some opportunities, I think, a little bit more. I think he'll do fine. But I guess you get a little spoiled when you have Josh back there and you got Diggs and you have other guys that are in the wide receiver position that can play Dawson Knox. We got a lot of weapons. It's just not one or two. We got about four or five. So you got to utilize all of them, I guess.
I'll tell you this. I was at that Bills-Patriots playoff game this past year. And Jim, I don't want to ruin the conversation. I am a Patriot fan. But the moment you and Thurman Thomas got on that field pregame and started to hype up the crowd, I knew we were screwed. You former Bills players really still bring it to that crowd.
Yeah, we do. It was fun because even the opening game this year, Marv and I went out. And Marv,
yeah,
had his famous, talk, and he, ended it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? And that freaking crowd went nuts. And I knew from that point right there, oh boy, it's going to be a heck of a Monday night football game, and it was, and we showed it.
So you know the passion of Bills fans. It's really second to none, and it's an unbelievable town and just such great people, too. And it's all about football, food, family, maybe a few drinks here and there as well. If they could
table breaks.
Yeah. Have you ever gone through a table, by the way?
No way, and I don't plan on doing it. I'm 62 years old, and I've had enough surgeries. I don't need any more.
Yeah, you've taken enough hits. You don't need to have another one. But have you let your mind start to go there, like what it would mean if they could finally bring a Lombardi Trophy back to Buffalo?
I mean, you think about it a little bit, but not much, because when you're a player, you never really try to think about that all. You always, the typical things, the AFC East and then the playoffs one game at a time. And you always got that mindset all the time, even when you're not playing. And I know fans don't want to hear that. They don't want to think that. They want to think right to the last game, which I get. I mean, we've been here four times. We never won one. Yeah, and that could probably hurt a lot of them. I hope we are able to bring it, because these fans, this city deserves it without a doubt.
No question about that. The Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly here with us. I also thought it was very big what Brandon did this offseason, because, sometimes teams can get complacent when they have a lot of talent in that building. But bringing in Von Miller, not only what he does on the field, but having that Super Bowl experience, the Super Bowl MVP, the two championships that he's won, I just really think you can't put a value on what that presence means to a locker room.
Well, they put a value on it, what, about $30 million a year? Whatever it was, I'll tell you what, he does. I've gotten to know him prior to also, And I coached them when we were in the Pro Bowl a couple of years back. And I was one of the VIP coaches, which was pretty fun. A lot of fun, as a matter of fact. And got to know him pretty well there. And he definitely brings what you need, that little extra boost on the defense, a little extra vibe of getting to that quarterback and, you know, making a big difference. And he's done it so far this year. Got to keep him healthy, too. Got to keep all those star players out on the field and not in the training room.
Going back to last week on Sunday, that decision with a little over 4 minutes to go by Harbaugh in a tie game to go for it on fourth and goal at the 2. It got intercepted. Heck of a play by Jordan Poyer. What did you make of that decision in the moment? Did you say to yourself, wow, kind of surprised he didn't take the field goal, or no?
No, you know what? With that much time in the game, you never know. And it's easy to say, you know, bygones when you're, you know, already tried it and it didn't make it, and you say, oh, man, I should have tried it. I don't know. And if you would have made, everybody thought that would have been the greatest decision they ever made. But it's one of those things. Would have I kicked a field goal? Probably, because you want to rely on your defense to bring you out. But, you know, it depends on the team you're playing against. The offense on the other side, you got Josh Allen on the other side. I think I might have gone for it maybe too. So it's a hard decision to make, and he made it, and you have to stick with it, win or lose.
Now, you go into Miami and then still following probably closely the ACC. Kenny Pickett, who won the ACC Player of the Year last year, coming into town this weekend for his first career start in front of those Buffalo fans. What do you kind of expect out of Kenny Pickett?
Good luck.
Rough spot.
I like what I see. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, in the near future. He's young. He's going against, a very good defense, a defense that likes to put a lot of pressure on. And we'll see what happens. I wouldn't want to be him this time, but you know what? You have to start somewhere, and we'll see what happens. But I wish him nothing but the best of luck because, you know what, throughout this year, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I've been a Steelers fan. Of course, I'm a Bills fan now, but Steelers are my second choice. And you always wish nothing but the best for a young kid. And you hope he does well this year.
No question about that. Before we let you run, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly, just who are some of the other quarterbacks that you really like in the NFL these days that you really just watch and go, okay, I really like the way that guy plays?
Well, you hit me when I just got out of the doctor's office, so my mind's not quite ready yet. But I like, Jalen Hurts from, is that Philadelphia?
Yeah, Philadelphia, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. I've been watching him for a while. I got to know him at a banquet. I met him at a quarterback club banquet and spent some time with him and his dad, and he's just a classy guy. You got to look at some of the other young guys throughout the league, but I'm not real good at right off the cuff pulling by three or four out. I just so much things on my plate, so many things I have to do in my life right now that sometimes, too many hits upside the head, not only by, playing football, but of course, growing up with five brothers, maybe too many quarters lights, things like that. So my memory's not quite the way it used to be, but the guy from Jacksonville, I know he's struggling
Trevor
a little
Lawrence.
Bit this year, but yeah, so there are guys definitely, I think, that we have in this league now that, in due time to get right offense, I think they'll be all right.
Now, before we let you run, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly, 2 weeks, in 2 Sundays, you get Bills and Chiefs, and that's going to be obviously a highly anticipated game. It seems like, and I know you can't do this, but a lot of fans were already getting ready to just fast forward to that AFC title game and see that rematch of the playoffs again.
No, it's definitely – anytime you got Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be a battle. It almost brings back memories of when I used to play against Marino 2-3 times a year. We knew it was going to be battle each and every time. That's pretty much what you're going to see every time you see those two, 17 and 15, battle out against each other. So it'll be a good game. I wish that we could get a game here at the Ralph and play one in Buffalo and see what happens. But it's going to be a heck of a contest, there's no doubt. But you got to worry about those Pittsburgh Steelers first. Don't jump ahead now.
Now, before we let you run, Kelly for the Kids Foundation, I know obviously that has been a foundation near and dear to your heart for many years. Just what's the latest with the foundation?
Well, Kelly for Kids is one that we try to do as much as we can for local charities here in Buffalo. We give money out each and every year, over $300,000 to over 30 charities. And then, of course, my all-time one is my son's foundation, Hunter's Hope, where, long story short, we just try to give every kid a chance to dream like I was able to do as a little boy. And with all the things going on in each and every state, and everybody that has a child understands that when you have a baby, you do a heel prick. They do the heel prick. They send that blood spot off to a lab, and then they test to make sure that they don't have any serious illnesses. But unfortunately, in this country, every state is different on how many diseases they test for. There's states that test for 20. There's states that test for 45, 50. It all depends where, what state you're in, depending on what they test for. Some kids are missing out, and they're not getting tested or diagnosed early enough, and they wind up passing away or suffering terribly. So we're trying to make sure that every state tests for the maximum amount of treatable diseases to give these kids a chance to dream like we were able to do as little boys.
He's the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Jim Kelly. Jim, nothing but good health to you and your family. Really do appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Have a good day. God bless.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start off with the football game from last night. Jimmy G and the 49ers, or let me say this in a better way. Nick Bosa, in addition to Deebo Samuel and the 49ers, dominate the LA Rams. They win the game 24-9. Jimmy G says his shoulder continues to get stronger.
I think every week I'll just keep feeling better and better. You know, the shoulder's just, it's tough during the season to get it right, but it's, you know, we got a long season ahead of us. So hopefully every week it'll get better and better.
And he wasn't even able to throw the football until August. And there was a thought maybe the Commanders were going to trade for him. And then he got the surgery. Then he wasn't able to throw the football until August. Really, the only other team that could have made sense, two of them, would have been the Seahawks, but they weren't making a trade in division, or the Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers elected to end up going with Baker Mayfield, which so far through the first four games of the season, yikes, Baker has looked like an absolute disaster. This is a weird spot for Jimmy. And it was brought up after the game last night. He was basically told, you're going to get traded. Then, remember when he was practicing, but he was like on his own in an isolated field? And now he's back to, I don't want to say being the man, because you think of the man, you think of like Mahomes, Brady, Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, like one of those quarterbacks. Like, now he is their QB1, though. Not that I would really ever want to watch the Jimmy Garoppolo 30 for 30. But you could do a 30 for 30 off Jimmy Garoppolo. New England, Brady not liking him, then Brady liking him, then Brady not liking him. Then goes to San Francisco, the hot start. Then the injuries, then the overthrow in the Super Bowl to Emmanuel Sanders. The Trey Lance draft pick being counted out, never going to play again. He even said last year, what happened, he said this with Adam Schein, what happened last year, I would never wish on anyone. And he would not want to go through that again. And then you're basically going through it again as you take a reduction in pay. Trey Lance gets hurt, and who knows how this ends. I guess if you need a Jimmy Garoppolo 30 for 30, Ryan, it has to end with him winning a Super Bowl somewhere. You would probably think.
Yes, I would agree. And hopefully if that's the case, I hope more teams then follow the 49ers trend, the 49er way. Put your quarterback on the trade block. Keep him away from practice all training camp. Have him on a separate field. And then like week one, all right, come back.
Who's the team right now best equipped in the NFL to follow the 49er model that's going to be drafting? I'm trying to think. A young quarterback this year, but then they stick with that guy. Oh, you know who it could be? I got a team. And this guy's better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
What about the Vikings? They trade up. Like, they have a good record this year. They're 3-1. They'll be a playoff team probably. They trade up. They go get a quarterback for the future. The next year, final year for Kirk on that deal. Then after that, there's some questions about that young quarterback that they draft. And then all of a sudden, Kirk Cousins somehow gets another contract by the Minnesota Vikings.
Maybe the Packers could do it. Put Aaron Rodgers, put him on the trade block.
Again?
Put him on a separate field. Jordan Love time. Oh, psych. Just kidding.
Dude, I can't. Thank you for bringing up Jordan Love. When does that dude become a team starting quarterback? So he's now in what, his third year in the NFL? Is this his third year or second? No, it's his third year.
Yeah,
right?
2020, he was drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then you had the, after the Buccaneers game, it was Aaron Rodgers goes, my future is beautiful mystery.
That's right.
And then it was, oh, is he going to come back? And he came back
Remember
last year.
When we had him on. I don't know if you were part of the show. No, I think you were. Were you a part of the show?
I think it was early pandemic, right?
No. We had him on.
Oh, Super Bowl. Yes.
And all it was, and I felt a little bit bad for him. Like, he did a good job handling the questions. When you're promoting a product, though, you know the only reason anyone wants to talk to you is talk about your future. And he, to his credit, he answered everything I asked him and did not have a PR rep interrupt the conversation.
Unlike
that scaredy cat, Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
I saw Pro Football Network today put out a post. Would you rather get tackled by Aaron Donald or would you rather try to tackle Derrick Henry? I said I would rather try to tackle block Aaron Donald and get tackled by him because a PR person would probably direct him not to tackle me and not to have any kind of contact with me. So that's why I actually picked Aaron Donald. But if we could take me out of that for a second, and let's say we never did the interview with Aaron Donald, would you rather get tackled by Aaron Donald to like, try to block him? Or, no, I think it was get tackled by him. So let's say you're a running back. Would you rather get tackled by Aaron Donald or would you rather try to tackle Derrick Henry?
Oh, tackle Derrick Henry. Not that I've dreamed for it. He would kill me. But I've had so many frustrations in my life seeing him run through the Colts.
I think it would end the same way that your football team goes up against him. It would not be good for you.
Oh, not be good. He would run me over. But I would come in charged up more than other around. I'd be running scared if I knew, like, in Oklahoma drill, there's Aaron Donald on the other side.
I would rather get tackled by Aaron Donald. Here's why. You could fall down.
Wait, what do you mean you could fall down? Hike and all of a sudden you go in the fetal
if
position?
If it's an Oklahoma drill,
no.
I could start off running full speed. Up, clumsy Zach. I trip. Fall, Aaron Donald just dives on top of me. If I have to try to tackle Derrick Henry, you're getting run right through.
Or you can just run the other. I mean, if we're going to play this game, you can just run out of the drill.
You can't run
Hop
the other
over
way.
The bags and run home.
You can't. That guy will catch you.
Well, he will catch you.
I know that you had some fugazi high school football career and you were a walk-on for about half a second at Penn State, or you got a tryout. You're not outrunning Derrick Henry.
No. I mean, no one can. He's like a gazelle somehow out there.
Jimmy G. Somehow we got to that conversation. Jimmy G says it's great to beat the Rams once again.
All of them are big, especially after last week. It's always nice to beat these guys, division game. And just, I don't know, every time we play the Rams, it's a dogfight. It always is. And always usually comes down to, you know, the last couple minutes. And I think Huff made a huge play for us at the end there to kind of seal it for us.
Let's get to Kyle Shanahan. He says Jimmy G doesn't get the credit he deserves.
I mean, Jimmy is one of the main reasons we're here. He's done an unbelievable job. People don't give him enough credit. We win as a team, and that's why he doesn't always have the same stats as some of these MVP candidates have and stuff. But Jimmy's a very good quarterback, and he doesn't worry about any of that stuff.
Here'd be my follow-up. Well, Coach, if you love him so much and you believe in him so much and you think that he doesn't get enough credit, why'd you guys then draft Trey Lance? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks. So hypocritical. Does that make any sense to you, Ryan?
No. He's the one who says, basically, we don't believe in Jimmy G. Let's go trade up for a project. And then he goes, well, why don't you guys believe in Jimmy G? He's like almost like Nick Saban.
I just don't know if he actually believes in Trey Lance. That, to me, is still the great question. that if I could sit Kyle Shanahan down and shoot him up with truth serum, I would love to know if he was convinced to take Trey Lance or he was fully on board with Trey Lance, because he talked about it this summer out of nowhere when he was on a podcast, I forget which one, how they were deciding between Mac and Trey Lance. And if you recall, his matching tattoo buddy in Chris Sims was the first person to say, when the moment that trade happened, that they made this deal to go get Mac Jones. So I wonder, he clearly okayed it. He clearly approved it. But how much did he have to get convinced for the 49ers to go take Trey Lance? That, to me, is one of the great unknown questions in the NFL right now, because that will tell you really what you need to know about Trey Lance with some of the uncertainties right now, the lack of health, not really getting an opportunity so far. Because if you weren't fully invested or all in on the Trey Lance draft pick, and so far the guy's been hurt and you haven't seen him develop the way that you wanted to develop, then you start to have doubt creep in.
True, but also there's enough conviction, at least knowing what Jimmy G is, to make the move. And whether it was Mac Jones or Trey Lance, they figured either one, let's go over Jimmy G.
Sure, but now maybe he's starting to think we're not getting that much closer. That's the part to me that would be concerning if I'm Kyle Shanahan. Nick Bosa, according to Rob Lauder, Pro Football Focus, against the Rams, 14 total pressures, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 9 quarterback hurries, and 3 run stops. Now, that's probably as perfect of a game that you could play if you're Nick Bosa. Let me ask you this there, Rye, because the PFF grades I just don't get. Out of 100%, what do you think his pass rush grade was, Nick Bosa, last night, according to Pro Football Focus, for the guy that leads the NFL in sacks through 4 games with 6 of them?
Grade, I'll say 93%.
90.1.
Okay.
What do you think his overall grade was from last night?
Because it's PFF, I'm going to say like lower than it should be. I'll go like 84.
91.6.
Okay.
When you have 14 total pressures, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 9 quarterback carries, and 3 run stops, seems a little bit better than a 91.6. But once again, I don't know how the heck they grade these
things.
Agreed. So stupid. Sean McVay says the Rams... Oh, he's starting to sound like you, Hickey. We'll get into that in a second. But Sean McVay says the Rams beat themselves.
The things that we didn't do to execute, you know, you don't take away any credit from the 49ers, Jordan. But a lot of it was just things that guys that we're counting on didn't do what they're supposed to do. And so clearly that makes me think that I've got to do a better job, and we got to do a better job as an offensive staff providing clarity to our players for as many MAs as what occurred tonight.
Yeah, I kind of hate when a team loses and the other team just beats the snot out of them in the trenches and they go, oh, yeah, we beat ourselves. Like Hickey before the show was trying to tell me that the Colts are actually a good team and they just keep on beating themselves. That to me is kind of a loser mentality, and you're kind of just making excuses and saying, oh yeah, we would be good if we showed up to start the game, if we learned how to tackle, if we learned how to block, and if our quarterback didn't fumble the football. Do you give any credit to the other team? Am I maybe not portraying your comments fairly there, Hot Take Hickey? Because that's what I heard right before the start of the show.
No, that's fair. Out of the 4 games, the Colts have not played well in 3 out of the 4.
So you're telling me the Colts are a good
really,
team?
3.5 out of the 4. Right now, no. Wait, they should be a lot better than what they are.
The show,
they are a lot
team.
Better than their record says. They should be 3-1 this year.
What? They should be 3-1?
Make a 42-yard field goal. That's a win over the Texans.
How about you don't start off down 20-3 against the Texans?
Fair. That's also fair, but a lot of that's the Colts.
I can't
Ryan,
say that you should have won
that game.
Hold on
to the ball. I mean, Matt Ryan is 9 fumbles through 4 games. Can you hold on to the ball, Matt? The offensive line, can you block somebody? I mean, it's...
So you think the Colts should be 3-1?
Yes.
And the one loss that I'm assuming that you're just going to say, okay, it was good, we just got beat, was the Jacksonville loss?
Oh, they got pummeled. They didn't stand a
yeah,
chance.
Down so how about last week? Why should you guys have defeated the Titans, who got out to a 14-0 lead, another game of Frank Reich, doesn't have the team prepared, and another team takes advantage of that? Why should we take that win away from Tennessee?
Because the way the game lost, the Colts lost the game. You have a bad turnover, you have a bad fumble, you have bad
Derek
interceptions.
Henry outperformed Jonathan Taylor, right?
For the first half, yes.
Oh, okay.
And the Titans had 1 first down in the second half. Literally 1. They didn't do anything.
But the game's 60 minutes.
It is. And so the Colts didn't show up.
But also, the first 30 minutes doesn't mean you deserve to win just because you played better in the final 30 minutes.
But the Titans, 2 out of 3 touchdowns, they scored off Colts turnovers. You don't turn the ball over. You put them deeper in field position. Like, you just don't shoot yourself in the foot.
That Titans defense gets zero credit, though?
They played okay.
For forcing the turnovers?
Well, I mean, Matt Ryan told the ball like a bread, you know, loaf of bread. Not really.
Okay. Out of excuses. Colts fans.
Just being realistic.
Always blaming someone else, those
They're
Colts
a bad
fans.
Team, but they should be a lot better than what they've been. That's
you,
all.
You, I had That's Stu Kovacs as my witness. You said they were a good team before the start of the show. Jerry Jones, 105.3 The Fan. Once again, every week this interview, well, this, I should say interviews because there's about 7 or 8 of them, just makes national headlines. Jerry Jones says Dak Prescott still can't grip the football.
Well, I know that it's better. He's going to go out there every day and make progress toward being able to grip the ball. I don't know that you could ask for better news, technically, physically. And there's some things here about healing that, again, I often say only the man upstairs knows how that works.
Right. Is he able to grip the football now?
No, not well enough to play.
So he's not playing this week. Now, I think Jerry Jones knows how to solve everything because one of the interviews I once heard him do with this very fine radio station was when you're lost in the forest and you have a cut on your hand and you have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and you're trying to sew it back up, that sometimes the things that you learn from your bachelor's degree are more important than the master's degree. So based off what he said in that conversation, I think like 2-3 years ago when trying to get the Dak Prescott deal done, shouldn't Jerry Jones know how to not only sew up the hand of Dak Prescott, but then also be able to give him the information and the knowledge on how to grip the football, Ryan? I think it's very fair.
I think it's very fair, and especially when he says it's the best case scenario so far. You think, all right, Jerry, get it going here. Teach him how to heal faster.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Mike Tomlin and why he's benching Mitch Trubisky for Kenny Pickett.
Obviously, Mitch's performance was a component of the decision, but not the only component of the decision. And I just want to be really clear there. Oftentimes, the quarterback position gets too much credit, too much blame. We haven't moved the ball fluidly enough to our liking. We hadn't put enough points on the board. The quarterback is a component of that, but not the only component. We've all got to absorb the responsibility that comes with what we haven't done, particularly in that phase, include myself and start with myself. And so when you make a quarterback change, you're really sensitive to that component of it because I don't want to dump the responsibility of what transpired at Mitch's feet. That's not fair to him. He's played better than that description, but we haven't. And so in an effort to be better, in an effort to score more points, in an effort to move the ball more fluidly, we decided to go to Kenny. In the hopes that he would provide a spark for us. You know, we felt that not only in terms of our ability to move the ball, but just in terms of energy. And so hopefully that's a catalyst for us as we try to move forward and change the outcome of some of these games, man.
He's still going. It's very obvious. You have to justify why you started Mitch Trubisky when everyone knew there was no upside. So you have to still talk kindly about him. And he's not the worst quarterback you've ever seen, but he's not a good quarterback. You know there's no upside. And after three and a half games, you know you can't keep on holding off the inevitable and you got to turn to the future. So Mitch isn't good enough. You're hoping that Kenny is your guy. You can't keep on waiting and waiting and waiting when Mitch doesn't really show you much. It's that simple. Well, come on back. We'll talk about how Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are reportedly hiring divorce lawyers. And also, I heard a take today from one talk show host about Tom Brady's next destination. And I want to have a little conversation about it.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So according to the New York Post, Tom Brady, Gisele Bündchen have hired divorce lawyers. That is what their sources are telling the New York Post. Now, my take from the jump about the Brady retirement and then when he came back, and everyone was speculating, oh, why did Brady come back? Why did Brady come back? I said, well, he originally only retired to appease Gisele, who's been trying to get him to retire for the last 5 years and wanted to get out of the spotlight a little bit. Okay, you retire, then people aren't asking, are you coming back? You're coming back. You're coming back. And then it was up to him in that month, 2 months, to find his way and plot his way to just get the approval of Gisele. And the way that that conversation probably went was, I want to go back and play football. Tommy, if that's what you want to do, okay. Which is really a no. Don't go back, but I'm not going to tell you no. I'm just going to basically suggest that I don't want you to go back. And Brady said, oh, she said, whatever I want to do, so I'm going back. And then clearly there was a problem because of that. You know, what we assume here, maybe it's something else, who knows, but this is just, I think, the natural assumption. Then Brady has to go on a vacation, miss 10, 11 days of training camp because he was trying to save his marriage. And it looks like some people say that they're married to the game and they're really not. It looks like Tom Brady's actually married to the game here in this situation. Maybe there's something more. Could they naturally have just grown apart? Could there be differences that go beyond football? Yeah, absolutely. But I think if we're assuming, and all we could do is assume because this is the information and these are the articles that we've read, and it's Brady, it's Gisele, it's two mega stars. And even Brady said, I get why my marriage is in the public spotlight and talked about. The only thing really I think is fair to speculate right now is that Brady coming back and Brady playing football is the reason why Gisele now wants to get a divorce, because she thought she finally was getting her way, that he was going to retire, and it lasted, what, 30 or 40-something days, if that? Is there any other logical explanation, Ryan, that you could concretely, like, attach to and hold on to and latch on to here?
When it comes to the reason for retirement, I still go back to the Dolphins shenanigans of, you know,
where he thought that was his next spot, and then it blew up because of the whole Belichick text to Flores, congratulations on the job. Oh, sorry, I thought this was Brian Daboll, not Brian Flores.
And they're shooting for him and Sean Payton to join them in Miami. Like, for especially with how quick the retirement was, I still think he retired thinking at first, I mean, the move, I'm going to try to get my way to Miami, and this is maybe a quicker way to do so by retiring first, rather than I'm actually done playing, and then 40 days later, you know what? Let's come back and make it happen.
Now, if this is true that they've hired divorce lawyers, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're 100% going to get a divorce, but you're basically first in goal at the 10-yard line, and you pretty much know where this is going. So could Brady, in a last-second effort, I'm not going to say walk away and seize it. I don't think he would ever do that, but at the end of the year, tell Gisele, I'm actually done, and you know what? I will even cut out the whole Fox deal. Because Mraz had a good theory. It's almost as if Brady signed that Fox deal and it was, okay, we'll put this thing off for a year and I'll just be away every Sunday, but I'll be able to be there throughout the week. And Gisele is all about family time, then goes, oh, what about Thanksgiving? Brady's on Fox, number one team with Kevin Burkhardt. Those are like 10 Thanksgivings that you're never going to get as a family as well. So could Brady maybe tell Gisele, let's not file for divorce. I'm actually done at the end of the year, and I'll even walk away from $375 million with Fox. Yeah, I guess it's all on the table. But with how much Brady actually loves the game, and I was operating under the belief that Brady was not going to play football next year, and he was going to go to the Fox broadcasting booth, and then Gisele would sort of get what she wants. But if Gisele is out of the picture in terms of the marriage, and they actually do file for this divorce, Brady's probably playing football next year, right?
I mean, you would think, like, it's there's no going back now. Like, what would stop him?
And on a new team, you would think.
You
could
think
that be the Dolphins if Tua does not fare well? Could it be the Raiders? Dana White maybe gets his way, and you could easily replace Derek Carr with the roster that does have talent. Adams, Renfro, maybe they bring back Josh Jacobs. You have Darren Waller at the tight end spot. I'm just going through the teams. If he goes to the Colts, I'll never forgive him. That would be the toughest pill to swallow. 49ers, if Trey Lance isn't healthy or you want to give him another year, which would be kind of nuts because then we're going 4 years in the league or 3 years in the league of Trey Lance. But you know he's wanted to go home to the 49ers. I'm just throwing some potential destinations out there.
Titans maybe? Back with Mike Vrabel for a year?
Yeah, there's one team I haven't brought up yet. And I did not come up with this one. Andy Gresh is filling in for me tomorrow when I'm out for the holiday. Andy Gresh on his show today on WEI in Boston, he just raised the question, does this open up the door for a potential return to New England for Tom Brady?
Why? I guess for many aspects, why would Brady do it first? Let's ask that.
Well, the way Gresh said it was, he believed Giselle was the one that was like, oh, they don't respect you enough. Oh, they don't let you get away any like time off. You need to go to a new place. We don't want to live in Boston now. We want to live in Florida. Warm weather. Maybe Brady goes, okay, Bill, now I could be all invested in football once again. I'm back. Now, two things. I would think it's more likely that Belichick says no than Brady says no. Not that Mac Jones needs to be the end-all, be-all, but he did draft Mac Jones in the first round. But I think there is a part of Belichick that wants to see, even though it hasn't gone well, they made the playoffs last year, this year they're taking a step back, if he could develop a young quarterback again. And I don't think Brady would be brought back. Now, Robert Kraft may want it to happen, but I don't think Belichick would be on board. But if I'm Brady, the only way I would consider it is if you go out and get me a number one weapon. Like you got the Patriots don't have a lot of talent. Like their line's fine, the running backs are fine. Not a lot of people throw the football to. So that's why I think it kind of goes both ways where they're not going to want to rekindle and get back together. But I would think it'd be more Belichick saying no than Brady saying no, if I had to lean one way or another.
I'm with you. I think that makes the most sense. Now, if it was to happen, if you got to fire Matt Patricia, right? You just give the offense to Brady?
No. Because Matt Patricia was an offensive assistant once when Tom Brady was on the team. No, I think it doesn't matter who your offensive coordinator is.
Do you even have one? Bill hates titles. Maybe just don't name one. Have Brady call the plays.
But technically, Patricia doesn't even have the title. Now, we know he's calling the plays. Like, Matt Patricia's not going to get fired by the Patriots as long as Bill Belichick is there. Neither will Joe Judge. They'll just be put into a different role. Like, maybe shifted back to the defensive side of the ball.
Reassigned. Or actually hire an
offensive coordinator. But it will never be a firing because he doesn't even have anything to fire the guy from unless they just totally get him off the coaching staff. They never officially named the offensive coordinator. Brady back to Foxborough? He's back! Well, that would be something.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.